Here we are on page 351, a new section called Eye Strain and the Mind. The mind is in quotes. I now wish to leave eye strain alone for a bit and turn to the more general subject of the relation of psyche to soma. What does our analysis of the genesis of eye strain tell us of the relation of mind to body? One of the most illuminating remarks written by Freud was when he wrote, it's a quote, "The ego is first and foremost a body ego," end of quote. Footnote 11. He felt that the ego originates in the perceptual system and has the function of mediating between the body and other bodies in the environment. Now, why should Freud think that we need an ego, or what later developed into an apparatus, the psychic apparatus, and note the mechanistic term apparatus, to mediate between our own body and bodies in the environment? There are two types of relationship one can have with another body. It can be an immediate relationship, or it can be mediated. A mediated relationship occurs when one needs something to bring oneself into contact with something else. Thus, my visual relationship to the Queen on Christmas Day is mediated by my television set. I could not see her without it. But I have an immediate visual relationship with someone before me, for their visual presence reveals itself to me directly. Freud thought it was necessary to have an ego or apparatus to mediate between our senses and bodies in the environment. But as I have stated earlier, this is quite contrary to our experience. In seeing, we are out in the world with the things we encounter. We have a direct, immediate relationship with them. We are not somewhere in our heads and in need of an apparatus which we manipulate to mediate a relationship with things in the environment. But note that the eye strain patient mistakenly feels he has such a relationship because he had lost his grip on the visual world. He retires, so to speak, to his own head. Because he has lost his grip on the visual world, he retires, so to speak, to his own head. From there, he ineptly tries to manipulate the muscles of the eyes as if they were a piece of an apparatus in his attempt to see more clearly and at the same time regain full contact with the visual world. Let us compare this account with Winnicott's theory of how the mind can be experienced as a false entity to replace some deficiency in the mother's caretaking activity. Footnote 12, or reference 12. You will remember that he observed the infant needs a near-perfect environment and that the mother should supply this. If there is a failure on the part of the mother or the infant's demand is greater than the normal mother can supply, then the infant may compensate with overactivity of mental functioning. Instead of the baby gradually learning to take care of himself at the normal pace of emotional development, the mind has to usurp the position of the mother before the infant is ready for weaning. This increased activity of mental functioning may lead to a dissociation, becoming a thing in itself. It replaces the good mother, making her unnecessary. So the mind becomes seduced away, as seduced in quotes, seduced away from its original intimate relationship with the body. And this leads to a distorted pattern of development, some of the results of which are traced by Winnicott. I think it is fairly easy to see how this theory fits in with our account of eye strain. The visual world is like the mother. If the individual loses full contact with it, then he may try to take over its function, which is to summon the gaze to it, since vision is object-orientated. The result in him forcing the eyes to look at objects and so controlling them like an instrument. It is not too fanciful to compare the role of the visual world to that of the mother. Searles has produced a vast amount of evidence that the perceptual world can act in this way. Reference 13. It is always there, steady, stable, and supporting Mother Earth. In these days of exploring outer space, the effects of a non-stable perceptual environment are getting better known. I need only remind you how rapidly people become depersonalized if their perceptual world becomes very unstable for long. For a spaceman to remain human in outer space, it will probably always be necessary for him to bring many perceptual reminders of the Earth along with him. Our account of eye strain also helps us to understand a point that puzzled Winnicott. He wondered why the head should be the place where the mind tends to become localized. I think it is related to the supreme importance of vision in man. It is well known how a person feels himself to be where his senses are most active. A tap dancer feels himself to be in his feet as he dances. An artist is in his hands as he sketches. A child or adolescent in his pelvis when he dances to pop music, and so on. Now, vision is probably the most sensitive sense for detecting changes and disturbances in the environment. It would seem quite likely that an insecure infant might come to over-depend on his sense of vision. Certainly, to my mind, one of the most dramatic signs of an anxious infant is its staring, restless eyes. So in his anxiety, instead of letting the visual world summon his eyes, the infant tries to force them to see. This produces all the consequences we have already described, including the sense of muscular effort and therefore resistance in the head. As any center of resistance is felt as an other than oneself, this other than oneself in the head comes to be identified with the mind or false self. For it is this resistance or false self in the head which the infant is constantly aware of in its anxiety to see. It is the feeling of muscular effort against resistance that is a source of the sense of cause and effect. For the intention and usually the consequence of muscular effort is to produce a change in some state of affairs. Our efforts cause the change. We are responsible for the effect. This is all right when we make effort to alter something outside ourselves, as when we try to move a heavy rock, for then the whole body is involved. But when a person compulsively makes effort to move his own body, the consequences are very different. He feels he is the cause of his own existence, so he feels he must make constant effort to keep himself going. I think this helps us understand why patients whose minds have been seduced into their head, in quote the word seduced, whose minds have been seduced into their own heads must keep up constant mental activity. For they find that to stop would mean they cease to exist. In them, a self has become the efficient cause of their own existence. They have to move their bodies instead of moving bodily. So, that was section page 351 to 352. Eye strain and, quote, the mind.